Yes, Lord, we just want to thank you for the word that you've given Jeff today. Thank you for the amazing experiences you've provided him with this year. And he's been about to share with us, and hope that his word is good and it's received well from here. Pray that you can just provide us with open ears to listen to Jeff.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Asher. First of all, hello. There's some people here that I feel like I know really, really well, some people that I don't know quite as well, who've joined whilst I've been gone. Nice to see new faces and everyone here this morning. The first thing I want to start off by saying is actually a massive thank you. There's a lot of people in this room that gave really generously to help me get on my gap year, and I really, really appreciate that. So I thought I'd tell you a little bit about what I did before I get on to what I think God's got for me to say today. What I absolutely fell in love with this year is kayaking, and I have a few videos that Reuben's going to show you.
Safer than skiing.
It is safer than skiing. It's also safer than mountain biking.
Mountain biking.
For anyone that was wondering.
Which is the one you didn't get injured on?
This one. Yeah. Well, the first video is me jumping off a bridge. There is a general theme of water to all of these videos.
You're on the left,
Where is the kayak in this equation?
The kayak is in the next video. So this is the start of the year with someone who was helping me to experience the outdoors. Whitney, about one of the most fun things you can do in oxygen.
Jumping into a freezing cold lake.
Exactly.
And then,
this is on our Distill expedition. We found a rubber dinghy and used a canoe paddle to try and move around the river. That's on the River Wye. That was with a load of people. Could bring that to you. A load of people from the rest of my gap here. This is where the kayaking starts. This is the River Dee. Oh.
Is this the first time?
That's my favourite thing I learned. Well, one of my favourite things I learned this year. This is called Horseshoe Falls. I did my level 1 course in kayaking and canoeing this year, and my one goal was to go up a waterfall, which I managed to do in the same year. I'm going to go do some bigger ones now. And this last one is a section of the River Dee called Serpent's Tail. It's just where the Dee is the border between England and Wales, and it's a grey 3 rapid. This is the second day I ever went on white water and managed to get into doing this, which I'll talk a little bit more about later. There we go, and nicely smashed aside the end. Which you can't hear too much, but yes. So that's my favourite thing that I've done for this year. But other than that, what I mainly love doing is residentials with kids. That's what I went to do, and that's what we've done a lot of. We worked with kids from different schools and invited those kids to come back to our residentials that we run in the summer. And some of the residentials with schools we talk about God and have Christian input into, and some of them we don't have Christian input into. And in those weeks, I ran some talks along with some of the fellow people that were in some of those videos. They also did talks the first time to kids, and actually we got some amazing responses. So we also ate with the children, and we had children that would come up to us and say, I remember one guy said, I want to come to your camp in the summer because I want to hear more of the talks in the evening. That's the reason why he's been doing kayaking, canoeing, climbing all day, and the reason why he wants to come back is because he wants to hear about more about God. Another group of girls spoke to another leader and said after they heard the talks that they were all going to go home and they were all going to go to the shop and buy Bibles so that they could read it and find out more about what was going on. And for me, that's just amazing. These are the year sixes who probably never actually heard about Jesus before, but after hearing about him a bit for a week, they all want to go out and buy Bibles and hear more about it. It's just amazing. So what else has changed other than the fact that I've got beard now? I'm quite proud of it, to be honest. It's going to be better, I'm hoping, over time. But and then the other difference is that I'm no longer sitting on the back row playing on my phone. this year. Yeah, come on, Cameron. You could be here next year. But what happened this year for me is I discovered God in a brand new way, and I feel like he's really got put an impact onto my life. And actually, we're talking about stuff Dad introduced last week about things we're passionate about, and something I've become really passionate about this year is living out a life for Jesus in every aspect that we live in. And actually, I've been away doing this cool stuff all year, and still the thing that gets me actually really excited is learning about God and telling people about God and just living, doing what I'm being told to do by God. That's more exciting for me than going out and doing kayaking, going off waterfalls, jumping off bridges. And that's why this next year I'm not staying at Adventure Plus, but I'm going to learn more about it. I'm going to All Nations Christian College because I want to learn more about what God's got for me and what God wants to do in my life. So today I want to tell you three things that I've discovered this year and throughout my life that really help with living a life of Jesus in every aspect of where we live. And the first thing that's going to really help us with that is going to church. We're all here on a Sunday morning, we come here for a reason. And actually, when I went away on my year, part of the start of the year is to find your church, find your own church to stay in. And a lot of people normally go to a church called COGS, which is where most people from Adventure Plus go, but I didn't really find that church suited me or wasn't the right thing I was looking for. So I had to go around and search for a few different churches, which was a really interesting process and a really interesting journey to go through to actually choose someone. But this really matters. It's a big decision for me. And I settled in a church called Casterton, or in a place called Casterton. It's called Casterton Community Church, I think with a few of you guys Dad knows, which was really nice. But to settle into a community where I didn't actually know everyone, and I didn't know quite how the church works and there are different processes. But that church meant a lot to me for the whole year. And being at that church every Sunday that I could make it is the thing that really got me through the year and the thing that really pushed me. We had Christian training from All Nations, but also having the input from a church. Both things together is the thing that pushed me forward in my faith. And at Adventure Plus we have three different style of weeks that we had. The first week is a week where you get up from 6 to 7:30 every single morning, and then you're with kids all day until at least 10:30 at night. Another week would be a bit more of a crazy week with lots of travelling, where we're in different places every single day, all up and down the country, and we're running an event just for a day, or maybe just a half a day, and then we come back absolutely shattered after a long journey, and then go again the next day. And then the final week would be one where you have to get the boring stuff done, the stuff like kit checks and admin stuff that's really not quite as fun as leading sessions. And actually the only thing that is the same in those 3 weeks is going to church on the Sunday. And that's the thing that is the constant in the crazy weeks and the non-crazy weeks, is being able to go to church. And at Adventure Plus as well, we took it was a general thought that being at church is something that filled us up ready for the next week, because we had to give out a lot over the next week. It's not easy being up from 7:30 till 10:30 with kids all day. Kids are great fun. Some people might disagree with that, but it's not easy. And actually, we went to church because we needed to be filled up. We needed to be filled up so that we had stuff to give away. So church is a constant in our crazy lives and in our non-crazy lives. And this idea of us being filled up started to get me to believe in something I heard about towards the start of the year, about thinking about starting our week on a Sunday rather than ending our week on a Sunday. If we start our week on a Sunday, we're being prepared for the week that's to come, rather trying to recover from everything we've just been through. What's just happened doesn't matter. What matters is what we're going to go forwards and do in the next week. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So we want to be filled up and we want to start our week on a Sunday. I don't know how much the rest of the world would agree with that. I don't think they'll be able to change all the calendars and everything. But actually, if we as Christians can start our week by being filled up by God and being ready to go out in the next week and do what he says in that week and do what we know to do in that week. The last thing that church really gives us is an underlying support network. there's plenty of people here, and everyone here is different. We're all good at different things. Is that right? We're all good at different things. If we're all good at the same thing, we'd get nowhere. I thought of a little analogy for this, as if, for example, playing golf, I don't actually play much golf myself, but it just made sense in my head. You've got one club, and if you use that club and that swing, you can get different directions, but essentially that club is supposed to do a certain job. But if you get to a hole where that certain job's going to end you up in a lake, it doesn't matter how many times you hit that golf club and hit the ball with the golf club, it's going to still go in the lake. Sometimes we need a different golf club to hit the ball across or hit it a little bit closer to the lake so we can get over. And that works in our community that is the church, that is the people sitting here today, is that everyone has different giftings, whether you're a great cook or a great gardener or any other job, a great person making tea and coffee and wanting to have a servant heart. Some of the people don't have that, and they can fall back on you for what you have, and you can fall back on them for what they have. And as a community, we help each other and stay alive. And we need that as we go through our week and our lives. So, church is a really important thing. Being at church when we can be at church is important for us to live out life in Christ in every aspect. We need to start off by being at church on a Sunday and being surrounded by our brothers and sisters of faith. The next thing that I want to bring forward as a great tip for living a life in Christ is talking to and listening to Jesus. Jesus talks to us and he listens to us. That's a fact, isn't it? He talks to us and he listens to us. A way that he speaks to us, when I was thinking about this, ways that he speaks to us. He speaks to us through the Bible. He speaks to us directly. He speaks to us through other people. And he speaks to us through the world around us. And that's four things we need to be watching out for. That means we need to read our Bible. That means we need to be open to those thoughts that are coming into our head and discerning them and saying, this is something that God wants me to do. This is something that God's trying to tell me. We need to listen to others when they come forward with encouragement, prophetic words, and other things that we believe that God speaks to us through. And we need to watch out as we walk around this amazing world that we've been given for things that remind us of God, because he's put them there for a reason. And what do we get out of those things that are going to help us to go forwards in our life? What can we see in the world around us? And for talking to God, I think there's two things that I really use on a regular basis as things I can fall back on to talk to God. The first one is something called arrow prayers, which I think everyone sort of knows what an arrow prayer is, but I only found out the name for it this year. An arrow prayer is if you're doing something and you quickly just shoot up an arrow prayer, just, oh Lord, help me with this, or oh Lord, I could really do with this right now. And actually, there's an aspect of those where they can feel a bit like, oh, it might not be good enough, but it is good enough. You just need to ask in every circumstance, and that's what arrow prayers can do. You can just quickly pray, and what better thing can you do in any circumstance? A great example of an arrow prayer for me this year is actually on that video of Serpent's Tail that I showed. I got to that section of the River Dee. We've been out on the river all day. Now, we've been advised whatever we did on the River Dee, it was pretty much fine, as long as you don't do Serpent's Tail. That's what I've been told. Don't do Serpent's Tail, whatever you do. The person I went with had already done Serpent's Tail before, so he sort of recommends, well, yeah, we probably shouldn't do it. So we went to the bottom, and when we got to the bottom, we met a guy who was running a 3-star course. Now, I got to 2-star paddling this year, but I'm pretty much ready to take my 3-star assessment now. And he sort of said, oh yeah, I'll do your safety for you. No problem, you can go down, I'm qualified to do it. So my friend sort of turned around and looked at me and went, so we can do it then, Jack? Oh yeah, we can do it. And I sort of went, yes, yeah, we can do it. And inside I was thinking, no. okay, maybe. So he carried his boat back up to the top. And got on and went down the river, and I was still sort of standing at the bottom going, I should probably, I can't not do it now. It'd be a massive wimp if I didn't do it now. So I went to the top. As I was going to the top, I saw one of the guys who was on this guy's 3-star assessment confidently paddle up to the river, taking the line that I'd just been talked through to go down. Came down off the first drop on the right at the top and went straight in. Tried to roll up, which you also saw a video of me doing on some flat water. Rolled up, only halfway, fell out of a boat and then sort of tumbled down the whole way before eventually someone got my throw line and pulled it to the side. That was the last thing I saw before I got on the river to go down. And then at this point I'd carried my boat all the way to the top. And I was going, I really can't carry my boat back down now, really, can I? That's not gonna go too well. So I put my boat on the water and I get in and waited for the signal to come down. And so then I got the signal and paddled into the water. And I was into the water. And it was actually quite fast flowing at the top. And I was going, right, there's really no way for me to get out of this at all now. So I have to go down, whether I want to or not. And I kept going and I got to the edge. And actually, I thought, oh my life. I've just been explained to that you can literally die on this piece of river and it's happened to people before. And I'm about to go off the edge. And the thing that popped in my head is like, it doesn't matter. I just asked Jesus. I just prayed really quickly. I just said, Lord Jesus, please save me and don't let me die. Thank you. And went off the edge. And you've seen the video. I looked actually quite calm in the video, I thought. And got all the way to the bottom. And, you know, I got to the bottom. I got out and I went and spoke to the guy who was doing my safety. And I said, thanks so much, mate. That was really awesome experience for me. And I think he saw my cross at that point. He said, are you a Christian? I said, yeah, I am a Christian. So that was the only way I got down. God protected me. And he said, that's funny, because we're all Christians. So all the guys that were doing my safety were all Christians. But I didn't know that until I got to the bottom and after I'd done this hour of prayer. That's just amazing. God has prepared so far in advance for me to go to that river on the same day that they're doing their 3-star assessment as a Christian centre and to be on that section of the river and have everyone just finished when we got there so that I could have a go. God had prepared that so that I could get down the river on my kayak and feel safe. That's just awesome for me. So that's arrow prayers. The second thing is spending preset time with God. You know, there's something for me really important about having a time when going, actually I've got a spare half an hour, I've got even a spare 2 hours, I've got a spare couple of days there. I'm going to spend some time with Jesus. That gives us time to mentally prepare for what we're actually going into. God is an amazing God. We need time to mentally prepare for what we're going into. We're going to be spoken to by the living God. I think you need a bit of time to prepare for that sometimes. Or I did anyway. One of the times I really experienced that this year was I did my first ever fast this year. And I went into it thinking, right, fast for a couple of days. And I've come out of it with a recipe-like instructions for the next 2 to 3 years of my life. Firstly, you'll do this and this. Okay, all sorted. This will be great. I'll actually know what's going on for once. Not quite. It was a little bit different to that. What I did get out of it, though, is I did experience God in a new way. For me, the Bible is an amazing tool, and I love the Bible, and I read the Bible, and start to try and understand a bit more about God, but I've never really got what I'm going to call a Holy Spirit buzz from reading the Bible, from understanding it. I got that from other people and from worship and from asking God in prayer. And actually what I experienced over these 3 days is just how much you can get through the Bible and how much God made the Bible and had the Bible written on purpose. It's so we can connect with Him and understand Him on a deeper level, which for me was just amazing. One of the passages that really spoke to me about that is Mark 8:34, where Jesus is talking to his disciples and the wider crowd about denying themselves and picking up their crosses and living out their whole lives for Him. And that's part of what's played into my understanding of trying to live out a whole life for Jesus. Jesus asks us in that passage to give us our whole lives. That doesn't mean every Sunday we can make it to church, we are like Christians. That means in our whole life we give it to Jesus and we do what Jesus wants us to do and we talk to Jesus. And that passage has probably been the biggest thing I've had for this year that's really spoken to me. It's our whole lives for Jesus. It's what he asked for. He said it's all or nothing. And I'm definitely standing here because I want to give it my all. So to live a life even fully in Christ, in every aspect of our lives, we need to talk to him and we need to listen to him. We need to listen to what he says. And we need to ask him for what we want to hear. And we need to ask him for what we need to hear. And my last point for living a life of Christ and doing that in every aspect of our lives is to be obedient. You know, we're called to be like Jesus. And Jesus was amazing. There are four books to account the life of Jesus. That's how awesome he was. He performed miracles. He made people feel encouraged. He made people understand life. He made people understand the meaning of what it is. And he was the perfect sacrifice for all of us and everyone since, everyone's been and everyone that will be, to forgive all their sins. It's incredible. I don't think I can will ever hear it and not go, flip neck. That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. But actually, it's pretty hard to be like Jesus, because he is everything I've just said. It's much easier to compare ourselves to Peter. And Peter is a really cool guy, actually. I like Peter. And actually, what Peter makes me feel, I feel like being more like Peter. As I go through my life, I'm trying to live out stuff, and actually sometimes I get the feeling that I'm something amazing because I'm a Christian. I'm something amazing because I've chosen to be a Christian. I'm trying to be a Christian. And actually, on the first night of Transform, for those who were there, there's a lady called Grace Wheeler speaking, and something that she said really, really struck a chord in me on that subject of being... Actually, she was on holiday with some of her friends in a party town somewhere in Europe, and she was at a bar, sort of, and her friends were drinking, and she was sort of drinking her orange juice, and she was proud of the fact that she was drinking her orange juice and not drinking whatever drink her friends were drinking. And her friends were about to go off to a club, and she sort of said, "Oh, I think I'm going to go to bed." And, "Oh, yeah, I'm not about this club and stuff. I'm just going to go to sleep. I'm not up for that." And she went back to her hotel. And on the way back to her hotel, she felt like God said, "You know what? If you didn't have me, you'd be sitting on the other side of that table, about to go to a club, doing some things that you probably regret, drinking things, taking things, trying to find someone to hook up with probably in that night. You'd be sitting on the other side of the table if it wasn't for you having me in your heart." And that really struck me. Oh, actually, yeah. It's not about, I'm not cool because I'm a Christian. Jesus is cool because he makes me who I am. It's all about God. It's never, ever about us. Never, ever about me and what I am and the decisions I've made, because we can even make the decisions if God hasn't given us them. God gives us everything that we are. And for Peter, I think, I'm going to tell you two stories about Peter, which you will have heard many, many a time. And the first one is about when the disciples are on the boat and they have Jesus walking towards them in the water. Dad was talking about this last week a little bit. And if you weren't here to hear that, refer back to point one. You should be at church. No, I'm just kidding. But, Peter and the disciples were on the boat and they saw Jesus walking towards them. And Peter says... Well, and they're all going crazy, basically. And Jesus says, "Come to me." And Peter says, "If you want me to come to you, I'll come to you. If you want me to come to you, yes, Peter, come to me." And he steps out of the boat. Now, he's in an atmosphere there where he's surrounded by his Christian friends, and he's watching Jesus perform a miracle. You know, it's actually a lot easier to step out in our Christian faith when we can literally see Jesus performing miracles, and we have around us our friends who are Christian, who probably aren't going, well, they might still, but they probably aren't going to go, you're a weirdo, what are you doing? That's ridiculous. But you're around people that you feel a bit more secure in, you can step out in your faith. And that's amazing. It's incredible. Whenever we step out and do what Jesus has told us to do, it's incredible. And he loves us for it. But actually there's another side to Peter, isn't there? When Christ is being taken to be crucified and Peter's in a social space and people are talking about Jesus and they come to Peter and say, oh, Peter, you were with him, weren't you? And he says, no, I wasn't with him. What do you mean? Now, if I was Peter in that circumstance, I can imagine myself thinking in my head and going, I wouldn't do that if anyone just asked. I was just a one-off. I wouldn't think that every time someone asked me if I know Jesus, I wouldn't deny it. And then a little while later, someone else asked him, and he goes, oh, no, I don't know that guy. And at that point, I think I'd be confused myself. Like, what am I doing? This isn't what I actually think. I've done it anyway. I've messed up. I won't do it again. But someone asked him again, and he still denies that he knows Jesus. He says, no, I don't know that guy. Why do you keep referring to me as that guy? If I'm Peter, I'm disappointed in myself. But actually, in that circumstance, he wasn't with his Christian friends. Jesus was far away. Jesus was about to die. You can't see the power of God. You don't have that support network around you. It's not easy to be a Christian. And we can be in these circumstances as well. We can be in circumstances where, you know, we're at church, and actually, like today, we can definitely feel the presence of God in worship. People are praying out. We can pray out and we can in our hearts be fully there for Jesus. And then there's another circumstance where maybe we're at work or maybe we're just walking down the street and actually we're denying Jesus. We're not living for Jesus in that circumstance. It's really easy to do. And what I want to recommend is that we ask a simple question that everyone knows is, what would Jesus do? Because actually we're not called to be like Peter. We are called to be like Jesus. We're called to be Jesus in every circumstance, every place we are in our life. And I've been starting to try and ask myself this question of what would Jesus do? I was at a place called Forum recently, which is a Christian camp for those who are running CUs, university Christian unions. And We were in one of the big meetings at the end of the day, and I was sitting quite far at the back, and I sort of, whilst the guy was preaching, I felt like prompted to ask this question, what would Jesus do in this circumstance? And I felt like I was being told to stand up in the back whilst this guy was preaching and actually just pray for everyone in the tent, that the Holy Spirit would move through the words that are being spoken and that everyone would just feel the power of God. So after a little while of thinking about it, I sort of stood up a little bit and sort of pretended to that I needed to move my jumper and sort of muttered a little prayer under my breath, raised my hand quickly and sat down. And as soon as I sat down, I felt like almost Jesus sort of going, yeah, no, that's not going to cut it. After sort of trying to argue my case with how people might not be quite as happy as about me actually standing up and praying for everyone in the middle of a preach, do you think Jesus sort of settled with, if I wasn't going to do exactly what he told him, he'd settle for if I stood up and had to walk all the way down the aisle to the back and then do it from the back? And again, after a bit of arguing, I then did that. And I went and I stood at the back and I raised my hands. I don't really know why we raised our hands in that circumstance, but it felt like the right thing to do. And I just prayed that the Holy Spirit would move in the room. And that actually God would touch the people through the words that are coming out of the preacher's mouth that have been prepared in advance. And then I walked back to my seat and I sat down. And you know, I didn't hear a Holy Spirit laughter, or I didn't hear of anyone getting majorly healed that night. I didn't hear of any crazy testimonies. There might have been some crazy testimonies from that night. But actually what I did get was a sense of fulfillment and that I'd done the right thing when I sat down. And again, that Holy Spirit buzz of, do you know that you've done the right thing? You did what I told you to do. Good job, son. You,
You're a good lad. With you, I'm well pleased. That's what I felt like when I sat down. And that's what we can all feel like. Because all we have to do is ask, what would Jesus do? And I think to sort of show you how much this can progress. Last time I was up here speaking, before I left, I mentioned a guy called Will that I'd prayed with, and he gave his life to Jesus, which was an absolutely amazing experience. For anyone that was here last week, he was sitting with me. He came to church with me. And actually, I don't have very many stories about where I stepped out in this atmosphere of not much Christianity, but that's where I'm trying to challenge myself, trying to ask, what would Jesus do in those circumstances? Because the one time I have done that, I've now seen someone at church, and he's going back to uni with a load of church recommendations, and he's going to go and try and find himself a church, which is amazing. In this last year, he's read the whole Bible. He's read the whole Bible. I've read the whole Bible. But God moves through things we do, and what he tells us, if we do what he tells us to do, he will move through it. So I want everyone to know this morning, and I want to give you a bit of a push and a challenge, but also an encouragement, that actually every single person in this room and every single person that's even not in this room can live a life fully in Jesus in every aspect of their life. And let me tell you, it's going to be the most fulfilling experience of your life. You're going to feel like you know what you're here for. You're going to feel like you're doing the right thing with your life. You're not going to feel uncertain. So I challenge you to ask, what would Jesus do? And I challenge you to go to church whenever you can and make it a priority. And act like it's the start of your week so you can be filled up to give out that week. And I challenge you to talk to Jesus and to listen to what he says to you after you talk to him. I'm just going to pray that out and then I'll sit down. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for everything that you've given us. Thank you so much that you love us, that you have a purpose for us, and that's to move what you have forward for us. I thank you that you give us fulfillment in that. But I pray in the situations that we feel discouraged, that you would encourage us and give us things to do. I pray that you would make the steps climbable for us to find our way in you, and that we'd be able to ask that simple question. We want to say, well, what would Jesus do? Well, what would you do in this circumstance, God? And then help us to live that out in our lives. Amen.